Well, good afternoon. This is Richard Quigley climbing in on top of Count Basie there. Okay. Now, fasten your seatbelts. Let's go. Got half a dozen things today. First one, I want to pick some sores myself and get those dealt with. I've been listening to and watching all of this post 9/11 nonsense, and I think it's about time that at least somebody voiced another opinion, another view of that whole thing. My first is that one of the problems that I continually complain about with government is that we seem unable to improve anything or fix anything with the government, because first the government has to admit their mistake. And anybody knows that before you can fix anything, first you have to admit that it's a problem. My reaction to 9/11 is as follows. I have long complained about the fact that we wouldn't take responsibility for our part in what happened on that day. And from what I see it, from my simplistic point of view, none of what happened on that day couldn't have been fixed immediately. Didn't need all new inspectors, didn't need a whole new inspection program, didn't need a state, you know, a nationwide alarm. All we needed to do was give the guns back to the pilots so that they could maintain charge of that airplane that they are in sole responsibility of. I mean, when they're flying that plane, they're like a captain at sea. They are the ultimate authority. And it never made sense to me that they took the guns away from them. And the mistake of 9/11, the mistakes of 9/11 would not have happened the way they happened, in my belief, if they had not taken the guns away. So what we did instead, of course, is everything that we've seen up to and including now we're going to go to war with Iraq, because we still haven't managed to arrest the man who's admittedly behind what happened in New York and in Washington, D.C. on 9/11. Relative to that, I watch these protesters, and I'm going to tell you, I'm getting a little fed up with them because I don't get it. I don't know what they hope to accomplish. It was like when the city of Santa Cruz came out and said, we don't agree with your war. We don't want you to have a war. Well, who cares? Who cares about your protests? Who cares about your attitude about that if you're not prepared to do anything? Now, if the city council and if those people that are protesting this war are serious about what they're doing, then what we need to do is, say something proactive, something that will actually have an effect, like what happens if Santa Cruz becomes a draft-free zone? And we get together as a community and say, okay, if you're going to go ahead and do this war, we don't really like it. The price you will pay for it is that if you institute the draft to support it, our young men will not have to run to Canada for sanctuary. We will protect them here. This will be a draft-free zone. Now you're going to get a reaction, and now you're going to get some attention, and now you're going to set the ground rules, and you can actually have some impact. And I don't think if people aren't prepared to do that, I think it really ought to be just shut up, because everything else they do is counterproductive. These little demonstrations do nothing except erode our confidence in our government, and they don't have any positive outcome except and unless you have to be one of those people that the television cameras swing around to. So, I've got that one off my chest. That's been eating at me for a while. I'm sorry to unload on you guys, but it eats at me. So, I'm going to go back today to my favorite subject, and that is the view from the high moral ground. What are we going to do about this lying bureaucracy we've got and about trying to find justice where there's no justice available? Lying cops and crooked judges and the like. And what can we do as citizens? I was at a meeting last night with some folks from Watsonville who have been suffering at the hands of some less than credible police officers lately. And in talking with them, I find the same thing over and over, is that these people are being victimized by lies and liars. Very annoying. And there's a gentleman sitting there, and every time I go somewhere, there's always somebody that speaks an absolute truth that just gives me chills. And I'm sitting there, he got my attention and inserted into conversation that there is no justice without truth. And I thought about the strength of that statement, and it's really true. There is no justice without truth. There can't be. And of course, being very freedom conscious, as I am, I got to thinking that that went on down the line and realized there is no freedom without justice. And so it all comes down to truth. And why don't we get more of it? Where is it gone? Why don't we live in a society that regards and reveres the truth? And now we come to my second biggest disappointment in the new millennium. I worked very hard to support a district attorney to replace Kate Canlis. I supported Bob Lee diligently up to that election, which was real close, by the way. And I did that because I believed that Bob was prepared to fight the fight from a high moral ground. I believed that Bob Lee was going to do what was right, that he saw it, that he understood it, and that he was prepared to do what was right. But I'm sorry to report that in my conversations with him, what has come out is that, let me put it in context. In the context of my complaints about lying cops, and particularly my favorite deputy these days, Jason Nielsen, who finds the convenient lie way too convenient, I was pushing Bob to prosecute him for perjury because I believe that he committed perjury in the Pinto case. And I think that the jury demonstrated that they believed it too. But the excuse that we're going to live with, folks, on the back side of that, and the reason that Mr. Pinto will not be prosecuted or even looked into for prosecution for perjury is the basic belief that Bob Lee has expressed that everybody lies. And somehow that justifies everything. I don't get it. I don't agree. I'm not happy about it. When we talked about it, he was explaining to me that everybody lies, and I said, well, that's not true. He said, you're going to tell me you don't lie? And I said, that's correct. And he said, well, you've never said anything that's not true. And I said, that's not what I said. What I said was, I don't lie. My granddaddy taught me that a lie is the theft of a valuable truth. Everything else is just BSing. And, of course, everybody does that. But certain truths have value, some more than others. And our government, in their infinite wisdom and in order to preserve liberty, have set up a set of rules along the way so that we could live like a free society. And one of those rules says that the value of the truth stolen under oath is substantial enough to warrant jail time. It's called perjury, and they lock people up for going into court and lying. Check the records. It's been a long time since anybody's been put on trial in Santa Cruz County for lying. And I find it very difficult to believe that it's been a long time since anybody walked into a Santa Cruz court and lied. Even worse is that I don't believe anybody's ever been prosecuted who was a police officer that lied on the stand, which means that there is no deterrent. So how do we get people to reach the high moral ground? I mean, how do we get people to acknowledge that the system breaks down, that the system is designed to work on truth, and it breaks down if truth is not fed in? And I don't know what the answer to that is. One of the things that I thought when I started doing these radio shows down here was I was going to be able to come in and get a lot of answers because the audience was going to call me up and say, well, stupid, this is how to fix that, or this is how to fix that, And I still invite those comments. I'm still looking for them because I don't pretend to know the answers, but I do know certain questions that I think are good ones. And one of them is how do we move our government to service us in a way that is consistent with our needs? And our needs are for, correct me if I'm wrong, freedom. The freedom that comes with the security of knowing that when we leave our house with no ill intent, that we can go about our daily business and return to our homes, and we are not going to be subjected to the ramifications of behavior that we haven't exhibited. How do we deal with that? Well, again, I'm doing what I can. One of the things I'm proud to announce today is that we're going to be opening a website very soon to sort of make up for the fact that we've lost our police review board here in Santa Cruz. And that website is going to be set up so that complaints can come from citizens that will be posted on the internet. on a website. I believe the domain that we have managed to capture is going to be called goodcopbadcop.info. And this is going to be a database set up so that people can access it through the internet, go in and post their story about either a good cop experience or a bad one. And the security will be very high. The identification of the people that are there will be protected. That'll all be laid out in the particulars of this database. It is a fairly sizable project. It is going to start off local, but I believe it's going to end up being national. And I hope that the overall effect of it will be to get more credibility in our government, starting with the police. Do we need one? It's got good judges, bad judges.info. Oh, yeah. Good supervisors, bad supervisors.info. Probably. But for the time being, I'm going to do what I can. And with the help of some friends, and I hope to be able to announce who they are and where in the very near future, we are going to set up this this website. So keep an eye out for it. One of the things that I want to do is the balance. The reason that we're putting a part in there for the good cops is because I really do, the work that I do against bad cops is done for the benefit of the good ones. And I think it's absolutely appropriate, if you're going to open up a station, an internet presence, to take reports on bad cops, that there should be equal time given directly to the good ones that don't ever hit that bad column, bad cop column. So keep your eyes open for that one. The other thing that I'm doing, in conjunction with some other friends, I guess it's best to say I'm involved in these things. I'm not really doing them, I'm just involved with them, is this car I mentioned a couple weeks ago. We're putting a surveillance vehicle on the road. And it's going to be an old Mercedes. We're going to get the windows all smoked and everything so that the drivers will not be identifiable from outside, but the car will be loaded with surveillance equipment. Then if you're sitting out here dealing with a traffic stop one day because you didn't stop at a stop sign or some other heinous crime, and you look up and there's a black Mercedes sitting across the street with the windows all smoked and a camera sticking out the top, well, you'll know that that's part of the project we're setting up. We hope to have that in operation first part of next year. Incidentally, these are all private funded. I mentioned the last time I was on the air that I didn't understand how it is that the police review board in Santa Cruz got shut down just because the city police took back their money. So what? They can run without the money. From the police, they can set out jars. I recommended to them when I had private conversations with them, get a bunch of pickle jars, set them out on counters in the stores throughout the county, and let people drop their change in there. Be amazed how fast nickels, pennies, and dimes add up, so that we can have a police review that is the paperwork and the storage costs and all that are taken care of if the community wants it. And of course, if the community doesn't want it, that's the quickest way to find out. I don't know why it wouldn't. I don't know that people necessarily drift toward the high moral ground. I don't know how to get people to move to the high moral ground. I don't know how to encourage officers to be honest on their daily chores as they do their routes. They get confused about what their job is by a myriad of things, one of them being the compulsion of government to make 1,000 new laws every year. That's one of my favorite speeches of all time in Santa Cruz. Was one that McPherson made at one of the local Chamber of Commerce meetings, where he talked about how the legislature had passed 1,000 laws last year. He'd worked on 1,000 new bills and 1,000 new laws. And I'm thinking, this is not piecework, guys. I mean, do we need 1,000 new laws? I mean, I believe that we probably got 1,000 old ones we could get rid of. And so I look at that and I think, okay, what would we do if we were going to change the way laws are made? And a couple of suggestions that I've come up with is I think we need to make laws in such a way so that they all sunset. We have an expiration date on all new laws, so that if they're not good, they will expire on their own. And if they are good, then the legislature can spend their time, rather than making some new law that we don't need, reinstating a law that we do. Second thing I thought would be a good idea is if every statute that we have, for the next 3 to 5 years or whatever, for every new law we get, we take away an old one that we don't need. That would knock down the body of law. So these are just some ideas I get passing around. Tom, you called in. I got Tom on line one here, wants to talk to me about jurisdiction of the county sheriff. Let's do that. Tom, are you there? Hello.
Hi there. Another one I'd add to that list is just a simple question. Is the law constitutional? But to kind of move on to my question, you ran for sheriff at one point or tried to, and before they kind of shut you down and so forth. But one of the questions I have heard that the sheriff is supposed to be the foremost law authority in a county, and that he has the authority to actually evict all federal authorities out of the county. Is that true or not true?
That's my understanding. That is absolutely true.
Wow. So you mean that thing like it happened up there in Davenport, that if we had a county sheriff with the proper cojones, that he could have kicked the DEA right straight out of the county and told him, tell him not to come back?
Tom, I did a single citizen's biggest rant. I don't know what more I could have done on that one. I went everywhere. In fact, KSCO even had an editorial of mine up on their webpage for a while about that one. Article 3, Section 3.5 of the California Constitution says that a government official, like a sheriff, has no power to do anything other than follow state law, unless and until there has been a decision from an appellate court stating that federal law takes precedent. I've listened to conversations and heard conversations over and over where the feds trump the state, and that's just not true. It may be true when it gets to court, but you see what Mark Tracy did on that raid in Davenport was exactly the wrong thing. Just like when we didn't give the guns back to the pilots and decided to start a whole bunch of wars and other stuff after 9/11, same thing there. What had happened up there is that the feds had moved in, a bunch of local citizens had surrounded them and blocked their exit, which in effect was a citizen's arrest. What they then called Mark Tracy for relief. Now, what Mark did was send, I understand, one or two deputies, which is only interesting in that he sent a reported 50 to Freedom Boulevard for that high school protest, but we won't go there yet. What he did was send a couple officers out there to Davenport to extricate these federal agents. He had no power to do that. The only power that he had, according to our Constitution, assuming we're going to be a nation of laws and follow the law, was to cut these federal guys up, haul them down there to local lockup, and put them in jail for trespass, willful destruction of private property, you know.
Oh, that would have been great.
Oh, and rather than hanging in limbo where we are, wondering which case is going to go where, are those people going to be prosecuted, is somebody else going to be prosecuted, is this going to happen again, all these questions that we're left with instead, all of which are going to cost us a ton of money, all of those would have been wrapped up in the case where these federal agents were in fact arrested in accordance with California law. So that not only is it a matter of a lack of kahunas, but the guy hasn't got the common sense it takes to pound sand in a rat hole. Why in God's name would you open Pandora's box when you got a chance to put a lid on it? So my objection to that was and remains the same. He had all the horsepower, he had every obligation, he had no authority to do anything other than arrest them, and what you're looking at is what happened instead. Now,
do you think people like him, and also just, you know, across the country, is that the sheriffs are simply unaware of their power, or that they're just reluctant to take the feds on?
Well,
what's going on there?
In Mark's case, I think it might be a combination. I don't really know how smart he is. My chances to measure his intellect have been fairly limited. I can tell you I'm not that impressed, but that's just because I really haven't had an opportunity to get to fully know him. But in Mark's case, what he's got is so many federal grants. One of the things when I ran for sheriff back in 94, it was, as a write-in candidate, never made the ballot because there just wasn't enough signatures, wasn't enough time. But one of the things that they were talking about during that campaign is that everybody was looking at grants. And I was the sole voice on the panel up there saying, no, 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 no. What you do is you sell out our freedoms for some federal money by taking deputies that we have devoted county money into training, who are familiar with the people of the county, whose first obligation are the people of the county, and you're selling them or renting them out to the feds to come at our constitutional rights. By the way, I'm sorry, this is the new Midday News at noon, KSCO Radio. The call-in numbers are 479-1080, 477-1340. I'm doing a terrible job running the show today, but that's okay. Practice makes perfect. Anyway, I don't know where Mark was coming from, but the whole thing did seem to collapse and shouldn't have.
You know, there was a great article on the internet just in conjunction with the Ed Rosenthal case, and the person was saying that asking the question, why don't the cities and counties, like Santa Cruz County just done, where they actually get behind a private citizen like that and stand up to the feds? And she said, it's very simple. It's because of what you're saying there, because of all the federal grants and monies and so forth. Our tax system is just totally backwards, and we're spending most of sending most of our money back to Washington, and meantime don't have enough to fix the potholes in the road here and schools and so forth.
Blackmail us in, blackmail us on the way back. Take the money and don't give it back until we do what they say. Tom, you're absolutely right on. I appreciate your call. I'm going to go to some commercials here, give myself a break. And we'll talk to you later. Thank you very much for calling in.
Thank you.
And in my never-ending effort to become the world's greatest and most talented talk jock, here go the commercials. Get ready.
Excuse me, I'm lost. Where am I? You're in Santa Cruz. No, I mean, what's this place called?
Santa Cruz Chevron.
And you're on the corner of Ocean and Water Streets? And we've been serving motorists for over 30 years. Great. I finally found it. My buddy sent me down here because of your friendly attitude and service. He says it's the best service in town. He also says you feature Chevron gasoline with the Tecron additive formulated to give your vehicle smoother acceleration, more power, and the lowest possible emissions.
Yep. And we also serve a great cup of coffee and your favorite fountain drinks.
And best of all, we offer full gasoline service. Santa Cruz Chevron, corner of Ocean and Water in Santa Cruz. The South Mexico state of Oaxaca is the global center for corn diversity and home to the commercial varieties of corn grown throughout the world. At least it was, until an introgression of foreign genes changed just about everything. Join me, Michael Olson, at 9 a.m. as the Saturday Food Chain host, UC Berkeley professor Ignacio Chapela, for a conversation about the missing maize of Mexico. We'll go way south of the border to hear about the invasion of the gene snatchers right here at 9 a.m. on the Saturday Food Chain.
What day was that?
This is Peter Allen. On Saturday, Chevron Texaco presents the Metropolitan Opera. This week, Sylvain Conterling conducts Mozart's tale of the dashing, defiant, and doomed Don Giovanni. With Peter Mattei as the Don, his abused servant Leporello is Ferruccio Fulinetto. Donna Anna, Sandra Radvanovsky, her father, the Commendatore, Eric Halverson. Donna Elvira, Melanie Diener. Don Ottavio, Reiner Trost, in his Met broadcast debut. The peasant girl, Serlina Ananya Trebko, and her fiancé, Marcelo, Patrick Carsici. For more about Don Giovanni and for a special behind-the-scenes diary of the broadcast of Les Troyens, visit the Chevron Texaco Opera Information Center at operainfo.org. And be sure to tune in for Mozart's brilliant Don Giovanni, broadcast live over this station.
AM 1340, KOMY. Don't miss it. Don Giovanni, this Saturday morning at 10:30.
Okay, here we go, last 20 minutes of the show. Wow, I actually pulled that off without a hitch. Is there a button I'm supposed to push? No, I'm good. Okay, I think everything's fine. All right, so thanks again, Tom, for the call. I appreciate the opportunity to think about some of this some more while I was outside grabbing a quick smoke. Lord, I love that tobacco. I don't know. I don't know how. And if you folks have any suggestions, how? I don't know. The most I can hope for is that through these shows, I will be able to encourage people to reach for that higher line and help encourage our bureaucrats to it. You know, they do work for us. And I try to remind them of that without being a tyrant. They make it very difficult sometimes to just say, look, you know, come on, your job is this, would you please do it? Because the first thing they do, of course, is denial. They run immediately denial. Whatever they're doing, they will say that they weren't doing. And then the game becomes cover up. And like I said, without truth, there is no justice. You just, there is no way. Think about it. No truth, no justice. It is the most common sense thing that I've ever had fed to me, and it just struck me large last night that this gentleman was doing that. We were talking about some officers and a lady that had died over in Watsonville. That's what the meeting was about last night, some of the strange behavior of the deputies in the sheriff's department. And it was really distressing for me to sit there and listen to it, because I know so many really fine officers in this county. I've had the opportunity, not just when I ran for sheriff, but in my little campaign. I don't know whether you folks know it or not, but I'm the guy that's single-handedly trying to figure out a way to get rid of California's helmet law. And I've had a chance to meet a lot of officers, and I've had a chance to meet the best, and I've had a chance to meet a couple of the worst. For the most part, I'm here to tell you that the good outnumber the bad by a huge number. But the reputation that the average person that has these bad experiences has no room to accommodate that. They hear you say that these officers are good, and they look at me like I've missed something, and I know that it's they who have missed something, and don't know how to get them back on track. And maybe as a society, if we just started to put a little more emphasis and a little more feel and demand into having things run legitimately and develop a greater intolerance for lies and manipulations and nonsense, that we might be able to just fix this thing ourselves. Because if it's not going to be done by us, nobody's going to do it. It's got to be us that does it. Is it? Yeah. Millie from Santa Cruz, talk to me. Hello.
Oh, hi. Good show.
Oh, Millie, thank you very much.
You're welcome. I have two things to ask you. The first is...
Am I in trouble?
No.
Okay.
No, not at all. About the war thing, and then I want to ask about a particular thing about the Police Review Board. Now we have the National Guard units and various service... Now, what's the other? We have the National Guard and we have the reserve units and all the services.
Correct.
Okay. They've been called up in great numbers and are headed overseas for the most part, leaving this country really without a standing army type of help in case of various disasters, which could either terrorist, natural, or whatever. I think this country has been left in a very bad situation. What do you think?
Well, with as many police as we have, if their priorities were straight, I think that we'd be okay. We have pretty much a standing army in the way of our various police forces. If you take a look at just the recent purchases by the sheriff's office, it seems to me like I remember last year that they were buying grenade launchers, for Christ's sake. So I guess we don't have tanks and missiles, but we've got a lot of police out there. Again, I'm always concerned about the run from self-protection. My statement would be, Millie, probably the least acceptable in this county, and that is we need to start handing guns out to citizens so that we don't have to worry about terrorists walking down our streets because the National Guard has gone overseas.
Well, I was thinking of something like dirty bombs and stuff like that I don't think any terrorists are going to walk into this obscure area, but we'll see. However, I just don't think there are enough police units across this whole country, especially in the very areas with low population, because I hear people saying that they can't afford to really beef up the anti-terrorist situation because they don't have the money from the feds who told them to do it, and they don't have enough police, and some of their police have been drafted into the reserve. They're very often a police person will be a reservist. Here's the other question before I get to the police board. I feel that what Bush is doing is going to spread this war so far, and he's not going to stop with Iraq, I don't think, that we're literally going to be out of bodies to fight this thing or whatever he has in mind. And I think that they're going to bring back the draft. Now, what do you think about that?
Well, what I said was before, me personally, if somebody wants to know what I think, they reinstitute the draft, and I run into some young man that doesn't want to go. He don't have to run to Canada. I'll house him. I will personally protect him. That's all I can do.
There's a very good website, too.
Which is...
I don't have it in front of me, but maybe I could call it in at the end of the show. I could give it to Jose, and
well,
he could give it to you.
Yeah, because I'd go take a look at it. Melly, what was the other thing that you
okay.
on the post review?
I don't understand. Who is responsible? Is it the Board of Supervisors for saying that the funds were not there to keep the police review board going?
As I understand, it was the city that cut the funds, and I'm not sure whether it was the police department within the city. Somebody told me this morning that they have $1 million public relations fund that they could have funded this out of.
Oh, wow.
But my personal opinion is that it's not relevant in the respect that the fact that the city decided to stop the funding should not in any way deter the program. All it does is change the strategy for generating the funds. There's no reason for these people to throw up their hands and walk away. We can do things that are not government sponsored. And I have the worst time with the progressive slash liberal slash politic that can't move without government involved. My God, there's no way to move with government involved.
But you have to know, Quigley, that it's very hard to get people to really get out there and support anything like this. Give their money. Talk about it.
Millie,
I think this is a city necessity, and the city had no business letting this happen.
I understand, and people can deal with that come election time, and they can try to vote in other folks, but that doesn't change anything. The fact remains that there are people out there that can generate the funds elsewhere if they will get their head out of that notion
okay.
that if the government doesn't fund it, it doesn't happen. And that's the problem that I have, is that this silly preconceived notion that we can't move without government funds, without government thinking, without government supervision. I know a lot of individuals in this county. Now, if you're asking me whether I know that it's next to impossible to get a bunch of folks to charge the hill, come on, Millie, there's 500,000 registered motorcycle riders in the state of California. 250,000 of them do not like the fact that they're required to wear helmets. Out of 250,000, I know of one who is keeping this fight going and has been for the last 12 years. And that's me. Now, that don't make
me... That proves my point.
Exactly, and mine. But if we waited for the government to fix it, nothing would happen. So what do? I do the best that I can with my resources to see that we can move forward in a productive way, in a positive way, and fix these things. And so I walk the walk of the talk that I talk. That's the best I can do, and encourage other folks to do the same, not waiting for the government's help, not waiting for everybody to gather behind them to take the hill. Take the hill. You know, take the hill. If somebody comes with you, fine. If they don't, take the hill, because either you stand for what you stand for and you're prepared to live for it, or you're not. And I just, you know, I've always been a firm believer. If you're going to talk the talk, walk the walk. Millie, I got some other callers
okay,
got to go. Thank
bye.
You a million for calling. Hello, I'm looking for Janet.
Hi, yes. I've been thinking about this today, and I was thinking that what we need to do is we need to collect this information, and we need to get the names of these sheriffs and judges and people and get it out to the citizens and collect the names of people who have had problems with them and build a network.
Yes, ma'am. Thank God for the internet. You might have missed the front part of the show, but that's what I'm involved on now. The latest program, I got the approval yesterday from the people that will actually have to make it work to put up the website. It's going to be called goodcopbadcop.info.
Good.
And it will be a clearinghouse for reports on officers, both good and bad.
Yeah, we have to expose them to the public and
right.
Get the public upset about this.
Well, and they've made internal affairs so ominous, because if you file an internal affairs complaint and they find it to be unfounded, they can then turn around and accuse you of filing an intentionally false report, and the next thing you know, you're facing misdemeanor charges. So
it's so corrupt, it's frightening.
Yes, absolutely. And again, it's the little things that we can do to fix them, and if we wait to be able to address and fix the big ones to fix the little ones, it's never going to happen. I think that this corruption happened one small compromise to ethics at a time
right.
in what I define as a synergistic gestalt, where it's this, the synergy is that, that it's all these individuals' failure to ethics that creates a gestalt effect, which is the effect is greater than the sum of its parts. And so that it's all these individual compromises, and that the only way to turn the tide on that is when someone that we are paying, one of our bureaucrats, one of those folks that ask to serve us, that is being paid to serve us, does not do that in an honorable manner, then we need to stand up and say, excuse me, you know, I paid for this dance. This is the dance I want. I don't want that dance instead.
Exactly right.
Now, whether or not we're effective every time doesn't matter. It is our silence that they are using as support for their conduct. And so people need to become more individually vocal.
We need to make them realize they're supposed to be working for us, not against us.
That's correct. In the best interest of not only ourselves, but as the founders put it, our posterity. Because the ones that are losing from this big time are not just you and me, Janet. It is our children, and it is our children's children. And the hope that we have to offer them is such an empty promise at this point that I don't know how we keep their attention at all. I don't know why they haven't already begun to burn down the village. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
It's just sad.
Yeah,
and,
it is.
And they're so much smarter than we were. They are exposed to so much more information than we were at their age. I mean, the young people, this new generation, to me, they're a marvel. They're just a marvel. But they're being stifled up against, they're running into these walls one after the other where this is the promise, but this is the reality. This is the promise, but this is the reality. And it's conflict, conflict, conflict. And that's, it's wrong. If we're going to bring these children onto the planet, we need to provide for them. And if we're not going to provide for them, then shame on us, shame on us.
Yeah.
You know?
There's a lot of propaganda out there.
Yes, ma'am, there is. And
we got to straighten it out.
That's going to be, I'm glad you agree that goodcopbadcop.info is a good idea, because it's one that I've held for a couple, 3 years now.
Well, anytime we can get a group together, like when we had the problem with the water meters down there, we
mm-hmm.
had such a big group down there that the supervisors canceled the meeting and dropped the subject.
Absolutely. And
they got afraid. And that's what you have to do. We have to get everybody rallied together and willing to get up off of the couch and away from the TV and get out in the rain if you have to. But,
yeah.
You know, it's, otherwise we're going to be down to gathering up our pitchforks and shovels.
Yes, ma'am.
One of these days, and I don't want to get down that low.
You know, the show on Tuesday, there was a lady in here who was just, she was the most positive, one of the most positive people I've ever heard, and I thought her show was just wonderful, and I loved to listen to it, and I don't really consider it the rose-colored glasses syndrome. She's absolutely right about all the positive things about this community. The one thing that I kept thinking while she was going through that whole thing is that how do we make it better? How do we make it better? Because in the closet, in the areas where she's not looking, beyond the beautiful weather and beyond the beautiful view and beyond the beautiful attitude of the people, there is some real crud that needs to be dealt with in Santa Cruz County. And
yeah.
So it takes that balance. It takes the balance of always the positive with forever the skeptical and forever the insistent on things being right. Forever that voice from the high moral ground being heard and attended. You know, where is the truth? Where is the value of the truth? Why aren't we valuing the truth more? And
exactly.
The line I want to get to the end of before the show is over again is, without truth, there is no justice. And it's something that people need to start to realize, that we don't need these lies, we don't need these liars, and we don't need the society that's built on lies and liars. None of us need it.
Wake up, America, and read your Constitution and Bill of Rights.
There you go, Janet. Love you to death. Thank you very much
for
the call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I think I got, yeah, okay. So far, so good. They've got me running the panel today, folks. So I'm sitting here pushing buttons and twisting and dials and all that stuff that I don't normally do. And I'm not all that coordinated. So I hope it's run smooth out there for you folks. Yeah, this is the Midday News at Noon. I'm Richard Quigley. I'm in here for my some odd time. I do understand I won't be back next week. Scheduling change. I think Liberty's going to be stopping by next Thursday and filling this slot. And then they tell me that barring any changes in the schedule again, that a week from next Thursday, which is 2 weeks from today, I'll be back and we'll pound some more of this stuff around. Millie, thank you very much. Janet, thank you very much for the calls today. I hope there's a fair body of folks out there. I hope that you folks are listening. I hope that you're thinking. I hope that you're putting together some ideas that you might be able to give us in the future, some things that we might all be able to do as a community to make this a to the core beautiful place that we live in, because this truly is paradise. I've got a couple minutes here. I'm going to tell you a quick story about where I come from. I'm a native California, born in Santa Ana, raised in Arizona, which is where I got my Barry Goldwater roots. And Southern California changed a lot during the course of my life. And at around 35, I came to Santa Cruz and stumbled in here for the first time. This is back in 1975, 76, somewhere in there. And I looked around, and it's just the most magnificent place. I was up in Ben Lomond, and I thought, my goodness, if I had all the money in the world, what would I do? And if I had all the money in the world, I would get this house, I would live on this property, I would live in this place. This truly is wonderful. And I'd go downtown, and the one thing that I noticed first was the incredible acceptance for all kinds of strangeness in people that I had absolutely none of. And in the last 25 years that I've been here, as I've learned to become more tolerant, I have seen this society as a whole become less. And that's probably the saddest part of my stint here. But other than that, this place has always reeked of home to me. I'm very proud to be a citizen resident of Santa Cruz County. I appreciate the fact that you folks have put up with me as long as you have around here, not insisted that I be run off. And so my payback is going to be to continue on these missions of mine, the quest for truth, the quest for justice. And thank you, Michael Zwirling, for allowing me to come down here and steal your radio audience. This really is quite a magnificent thing that Michael does, you know. This 1 hour, the way he has it set up now, where he has these different opinions coming through the week, is I think it's just awesome. And the fact that he invites me is slightly over the top. I don't know that I really deserve the voice of the attention, but I hope I'm not letting anybody down. And I got another 60 seconds to kill and absolutely nothing to think to say except thank you, and then thank you a couple more times. Is there something I'm forgetting? No lights are lighting up. I'm going to push out my go-away music here shortly. What else did I want to tell you? There's something else I wanted to tell you guys today. It's going to be 2 weeks before I get to do this again. Thank you for the emails. I get emails at home after the show from folks that don't want to interrupt me because they just want to hear me talk, and I don't understand that one, but I appreciate the emails. My website, for those of you that don't know it, my website, my politics, my premier thing, the one that I do and maintain to the tune of hundreds of thousands of visitors a year as UnitedStatesFreedomFighter.com. It's USFF.com on the internet. It's an exercise in patriotism, quotes from one place and another, kind of a little feel-good spot about how to live life as a proud American, where it all came from, what it's all supposed to mean. Well, I did that one wrong, didn't I? Uh-oh. Okay, well, that winds it up for us. 15 seconds to go. I'm out of here. 2 weeks from today, I'll be back. Thanks again. This is KSCO, AM 1080, Santa Cruz.